This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 163. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
All JSA stories must go, Guy to the Rescue, more Flashpoint Roundup, and Who Watches the Simpsons? This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Monday, July 4th, 2011. Happy Independence Day. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Happy Independence Day to you too, Mark. You can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. You can also subscribe via iTunes, where you can please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. And we got to get out to the darn fireworks, so before that, let's get to JSA 80-Page Giant 2011 by Multiple Creatives.
This was a big book.
Yeah, and they're essentially cleaning out the inventory and everything must go type situation because, as we know, JSA is going to take a rest once the New 52 begins.
And is that because there's going to be no JSA history now?
Apparently, at least on Earth 1.
Right, until they introduce the new Earths again.
Right. So this was a number of short stories. Very few of them were truly memorable. A few of them seemed cut off early, like they ran out of room and they had to cut off stories. It's like, is there another page? No, I guess not. There was an Alan Scott Green Lantern story that I thought would actually be a better fit for Vertigo, where he's kind of walking around and working on, he's on the moon with
For the old Vertigo, right, but now all those characters are back in DC anyway.
Right, but I mean, just the idea of, he's working with the elves and the gnomes and the giants and all this. And
yes, things we haven't really seen in regular DC continuity.
Right. And but you did get some decent Chaykin art rounding out the book. I did like that. But overall, it pretty much just kind of shoveled some stuff into a book. But we will see you soon, JSA, hopefully in 2012.
That's too bad, because you really like the JSA.
I do like JSA. But I'm sure they'll be back soon. Green Lantern Emerald Warriors number 11 by Tomasi and Chang. I thought it was a rather generic Guy Gardner story.
I was very confused, because I thought Guy was still involved in other things with the Green Lantern Wars.
Yeah, and other than vague references to some previous events, and now he's taking some
R&R.
And as you just said, these are events. If they're in fact referring to them, they haven't finished up in the other books yet. This story, for the most part, could have, and I suspect it was pulled from stock, that they already had a story, and that seems to be a trend at DC right now. You know, that crypto story last week.
Right.
Where they're just like, okay, we've got some old stories, and we won't have to pay to have somebody do them again. Let's just put this stuff in while we're waiting for the reboot that's not a reboot to happen.
Right. It's kind of annoying. It does make me want to not buy any more books until...
Yeah, exactly. It's like, take this seriously, DC, between now and September. But the story is where Guy gets fooled by this beautiful woman who ends up as the villain, yada, yada, yada. They've done this story over and over and over again. And it was a one-shot.
They said that the next couple issues are going to be like that. I think they said in the letter column that there were going to be three one-and-done issues.
Because I think they're concentrating now on what's going to happen in September and after that.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of what's going on now, let's go to the old Flashpoint Roundup.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Starting with Hal Jordan, number 1 of 3 by Schlagman and Oliver. So this is, again, a retelling of Hal's origin story. Most of it remains the same. What changes here is Ferris Air is hired by the government to be a early warning system for metahuman attacks on the West Coast. So Hal saves Carol from what appears to be King Shark, and in doing so, destroys both their planes. Hal, in another flight, he sees Abin Sur's ship go down, and he lands by the crash, and Abin asks for help.
But he's not dead.
He's not dead.
And he's not dying.
Right.
So it's unlikely that Hal's going to get the ring.
Exactly. This is one I probably could have skipped. I wasn't very impressed by that one.
Yeah. Well, can't be impressed by everything.
Right. A little more impressed with the Canterbury Cricket one-shot by Carlin, Morales, and Bryant. This one intrigued me the most when they did the announcements for the Flashpoint titles, because this is a new character. We've never heard of him before. I thought, is this the Flashpoint version of Ambush Bug? And if so, why would Professor Zoom bother to affect Ambush Bug's origin? But it turned out to be more of a new character, introduced as part of an unofficial group called the Ambush Bugs, along with Blue Beetle, who's another bug-like creature, and Queen Bee, an old JLA villain, who is also a bug-like creature. So he joins the resistance movement in the UK, fighting the Amazons, who of course have taken over the United Kingdom, and he's fighting alongside Etrigan, Godiva, Mrs. Hyde, and Ginny Greenteeth. And the latter two are new characters that DC kind of borrowed from English literature. I had to look up Ginny Greenteeth just to confirm it wasn't actually some DC character from many moons ago, and she isn't. So we learn that this Canterbury Cricket is this cad who throws this woman at attacking Amazons to save himself, and he ends up hiding in a church. And as the church is bombed and destroyed, he's somehow transformed into this huge bug. I'm wondering if this is a character that Mike Carlin had already created and he just had in his back pocket, kind of similar to the Outsider character we talked about last week. Didn't really have much to do with DC at all. Thought, hey, I've got this character I created a few years ago and I couldn't sell it to anybody, so how about using it now?
Right. And, you know, this book also continued in the Flashpoint tradition of killing off heroes, because the whole Ambush Bug squad, except for the Cricket, was killed.
Right.
And so that included the Blue Beetle, mm-hmm. who they referred to as Jamie at that point, too.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, more people dying.
They love it in Flashpoint, killing heroes. Then we have Project Superman, number 1 of 3, by Snyder, Francis, and Ha. I bought this on impulse. I hadn't pre-ordered it, but I thought it would be more about the destruction of Metropolis and finding out what happened there. All we've seen up till now has been two fleeting shots of meteors hitting Metropolis. It really was more like a generic super soldier story. The government doesn't want to fight or wants to fight metas with metas, and their Project Doomsday didn't work, so they inject whatever into this guy who agrees to go under this experiment. And as always, the soldier goes mad with power, and that's pretty much, again, a rather generic story. But we do learn at the end, confirmed, that the meteor swarm that hits Metropolis is also when Kal-El's rocket, or presumably Kal-El's rocket, hits Earth, in this case, Metropolis.
Right. So the next two issues could be about the destruction of Metropolis.
I'm hoping, and less about this generic super soldier deal. Moving on to
Outside of Flashpoint.
Outside of Flashpoint. The Simpsons Super Spectacular number 13 from Bongo by Varone and Rodriguez. Now, we don't discuss Bongo comics too often on the show, but I've been collecting them for quite a while, pretty much since they started in the 90s. They have several ongoing Simpsons books. There's Simpson Comics. There's a Bart Simpson Comics. They have Futurama as its own series. And they have this series called Simpsons Super Spectacular, which covers the superheroes that are mentioned on the TV show. So it's like a separate continuity in The Simpsons where all the regular characters are around, but there's also Radioactive Man and, you know, Pie Man, who had a whole episode, which is actually Homer, and on and on and on. So this issue had what I thought was a really great Watchmen full book parody, where Krusty's the comedian, Professor Frink is, instead of Dr. Manhattan, he's Dr. New Haven. Mother Bouvier is a Silk Spectre knockoff.
Relating to cupcakes.
Right. And Milhouse is at the Android's dungeon with Comic Book Guy, and Milhouse is reading the parallel comic story, kind of like the Black Freighter is in the Watchmen story, of course. And it's this separate story. It's an old Radioactive Man story, which is rather inconsequential to what's going on, it's much as Black Freighter is inconsequential to what's going on. So all of this surrounds this pie baking contest that's going on between Springfield and Shelbyville that's been going on all these years. And apparently the first one is where these early heroes suddenly come up, and they're the original Watchmen. I have to say that when they're at their best, the Simpsons comics are at least as good as the TV episodes. Certainly the TV episodes we're seeing now, but I'd say as good as classic Simpsons episodes. I mean, they're really well written in a lot of cases.
Well, I'm glad you enjoy them.
I do.
I don't so much.
I just thought this was really cute how they did this whole Watchmen thing and tied it all together. I enjoyed that.
It was a very good take on the Watchmen.
Mm.
I just think maybe they stretched it a bit too far. I don't know.
Well, you almost have to in order to get a whole book out of it.
Yeah. So.
All right. Before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's Fastest Screwing No Game Show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Okay, Mark, are you ready?
I believe I'm ready.
All right, go.
Is it movie related?
Yes.
It's a movie that's coming out?
Yes.
Okay, it's a movie that came out this past weekend?
I don't think so.
Okay, so it's not Transformers?
No.
Okay. Is it comic book related?
No.
Is it a comedy?
No.
Is it a drama?
Sort of.
Is it some sort of action?
Sort of.
Is it genre related?
Yes.
Is it science fiction related?
No.
Fantasy related?
Sort of.
Sort of. It's not Harry Potter, is it?
It is indeed Harry Potter.
So Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe. They're saying goodbye to Harry Potter.
As far as I'm concerned.
You never good read the book, so. I am getting really tired of Entertainment Weekly having the same five covers over and over again.
Yes, it makes it much easier to play the game, though. Like, let's see. It's
next
been
week
4 weeks.
Twilight. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Let's see, about a Twilight cover any minute now, I'm assuming. All right, a rather short show. There wasn't a lot in comic books this week, and it is a holiday weekend, so we thought we wanted to get an episode out, though. Next week, hopefully, we'll get some more interesting comics coming out.
I doubt it. It'll be September before the interesting comics come out. Although, before that, we will have the new Terry Moore, won't we?
We should. That's true. Yeah.
We'll talk about that when it comes
out. Also, I want to give a little bit of a teaser. There will be new Decawatt Playhouse episodes coming very soon because I just got a treasure trove of new material this weekend.
Hey, and I'm going to start another podcast.
Yes. You want to talk about it yet or you want to hold off?
We'll wait another week or two before we announce it.
We're making details, working out stuff.
Mark will not be involved.
So we'll see. All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email us at sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9-SFIP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.